Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Later today, the Northumberland Labour Council is holding a funeral. The poster urges people to wear black clothing or a black armband. The group will meet at 4 p.m. in front of local MPP David Pacini's office in Port Hope to draw attention to the government's initiative they say are hurting people across the province. The event is called Death by 1,000 Cuts. And to help us better understand the event and the reasons behind it, along with the impact on Northumberland County, is Wendy Good. She sits on the executive of the Labour Council. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, pleased to be here.
I know there's so much to talk about because this government has moved quickly to implement a lot of changes within the last year that have a range of impacts across the province. But I want to take a moment to talk about yesterday's announcement to introduce legislation to limit wage increases for public sector workers, including teachers and nurses, to 1% per year for the next 3 years. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Very angry. I'm pretty sure that goes against the Charter of Rights and Freedoms in terms of impeding collective bargaining rights. The fact that the government can now take a five-month break in order to assist with the federal election after making an announcement like that, I think there's going to be a lot of job actions coming up. I don't think there's very many public sector unions that are going to take that laying down. And from things I've been looking at today, listening to different union leaders talking, provincial leaders talking, it's not going to go down well. And I think there's going to be a lot of labor disruption.
Have you talked to any of your colleagues in other unions to find out what their reactions have been so far? What's the chat between yourselves?
Anger, again, because although it's not a wage rollback, it is a wage cut, with inflation rates being around, hovering around 2%. To only have the rate of an wage increase at 1%, that's a wage cut. And public servants and public service workers have continually had to bear the brunt of the government trying to find efficiencies. And it's not sustainable for workers because everything else costs more, and it's a wage cut.
But the government argues that this is a good thing for public sector workers because it's protecting jobs. Isn't this a good thing?
I don't think it is protecting jobs. I think it's... Ontario is not a broke province, as Premier Ford continues to tell the media. Ontario needs to increase its revenue, and the revenue share paid by the top 1% and the corporations and so on is below what needs to be. And if revenue streams were increased, then there would be no need for all of the cuts being put forward by the government or a limitation on wage increases.
But any increases that will occur, say if you were successful, doesn't that always usually turn out that for whatever in the increases, so many people lose their jobs so that it becomes a revenue neutral thing?
I don't think in the public service that's the case. I'm a retired teacher, and when wage increases are negotiated, which have been well below the inflation rate for the last large number of years, jobs aren't lost. Teachers are still needed, and the same thing in the healthcare sector. Nurses are still needed, so jobs aren't lost because a wage goes up.
Now, you've already said that there's going to be job action, or you're predicting that there's going to be job action over the summer in response to this announcement. Do you really think that you're going to have the public support? There's a lot of people that look at the public service and they go, these are some of the best jobs in the province. These, you know, they pay well, they get lots of benefits. they shouldn't be out protesting. They should just, you know, go away quietly and accept this 3-year deal.
And I think you're going to have some of the public are going to be like that. Mm-hmm. But in light of all of the cuts that have been made by the Ford government to date, and the amount of protests that are happening, and protests are happening on a daily basis everywhere. The people that are out protesting aren't out protesting for wage increases, for any of those. They're not bargaining. They're out there protesting because vulnerable people are getting hurt. And this is all being organized by the Ontario Federation of Labour through their Power of Many campaign. And I don't think there's any unions that are not participating in mobilizing members. And the number of rapid response networks that are coming up through labor communities and through labor councils, and how quickly people are being mobilized to take to the streets to stop and delay traffic going into conservative events. And this is happening every day. I mean, massive people supported at the education cuts today in Toronto in particular, with over 300 schools having walk-ins with parents and communities. And as I watched videos and more people that are being affected by all these cuts are joining forces with those public service unions that are mobilizing members. So I don't think the support will be as... There's always going to be some people that have disdain for this kind of thing, but I think there's going to be more support now than there's ever been in the past.
Are you predicting a summer of discontent?
Summer and a fall of discontent? I would be surprised if there wasn't.
Okay. Well, on that note then, let's talk about the protest that's happening later this afternoon. It's called Death by a Thousand Cuts, and this is a local initiative or something organized by the province or various groups. Is it local or is it province-wide?
The Ontario Federation of Labour has declared June 7th and June 8th days of action in response to the Ford government being in power for 1 year. Locally, because the election was held on June 7th, the Northumberland Labour Council decided that we were going to host an event that day. We decided to have a funeral service, and we have speakers, we have an actual service planned for this afternoon. We have a local folk singer, Marie Lynn Hammond, will be coming and singing some of her written songs. We have a eulogy that's been written by a fellow educator of mine. We will have a moment of silence where we recognize many of the cuts that have been made and affected just about every area of society.
So what was the purpose of this? And I know it lines up with the election of the Progressive Conservative government as well. So could you talk just a bit about that?
Well, a year ago, despite the organizing of labor to elect a labor-friendly government, the Conservatives got in with a majority, and all of the things that we had predicted would happen have happened. So we're basically we would encourage the government to rethink all of the cuts that they have made and the people that are being affected by all of their cuts, the quality of public services, education, healthcare, the library, legal aid. The list goes, the environment, the list goes on and on and on. The government keeps directing everyone to find efficiencies, but at the same time to retain services at the same level, and that can't happen. It's not, I understand that the government has a debt that they're trying to reduce, and people, I don't think, have a problem with that. But again, like I said, revenue needs to be increased. We don't have a spending problem. We have a revenue problem.
I guess what comes out of that, though, is first of all, let's just step back for a second. And I'm curious about how many people are you expecting to show up to the protest later today?
I'm hoping we'll have 50 or more. Peterborough Labour Council has decided to join us as well, and they have wrote a letter to and submitted it to the Peterborough Examiner, stating that they were going to join us. There are events, as I say, Durham Labour Council is having their event tomorrow as well. Now, Lindsay Labour Council, their event is on Saturday. So there are a lot of events happening province-wide. So I'm sure that people will be taking in an event wherever they happen to be. I'm hoping we get 50 people out. That would be rewarding.
So on this show, we've had a number of individuals, organizations, and institutions telling us about the impact of a number of these policy changes that the government's proposing. Now, from the Labour Council's perspective, what are the most egregious cuts you feel are impacting Northumberland?
The education cuts, the increase in class sizes, the reduction of support staff to the system. The healthcare cuts in terms of merging all of the health units. I think that's going to have a big impact on Northumberland. And the talk, there are no details as per usual. The talk of reducing the paramedic services, and I think that's a big one in Northumberland. We have a big area, and they have created a system that works for us, and with main hubs and satellite offices. And if those 59 or whatever it is paramedic services get reduced down to 10, where are the satellite locations going to be? How long is it going to take an ambulance to reach, you know, someone in Grafton or someone in Coburg or someone in Port Hope? I think that's a really scary thing.
And haven't we just opened up some new ambulance centers, emergency care centers in Roseneath and Trent Hills?
Yes, I think we have. And so what will happen to the assets of those stations or satellite offices? I think it's a frightening thing to think that when you call 911 to get an ambulance, the length of time it might take for somebody to get here.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was healthcare, and I know that Northumberland Hills Hospital has made overtures that they want to be one of the first groups to try the government's plan to amalgamate or to integrate services under the proposal that the government announced when it announced its changes to the healthcare system. So that's something local. What is specifically about a local plan would you be concerned about? What are the concerns? Can you tease out and unpack for us what you're most concerned about when they talk about moving forward with this?
I haven't looked into it
enough
to... I get scared when... I really get scared when an organization wants to go along with the conservative outlines, because the ones that I have looked at, once you dig into the details, are very frightening. That's one I haven't researched yet.
Okay. Now, I know that there's been some other things that you've talked about in your literature. You mentioned cuts to children with autism and the integration of these students into classrooms. What has you concerned in that particular area?
The lack of support and the lack of training that teachers have. My last few years in teaching, I spent working in learning and life skills, and I worked intensively with autistic children and many other challenging and behavioral and academic needs as well. And I worked with a student who came to school after spending 6 years in intensive IBI therapy. Mm-hmm. His mom brought us in a watered-down version of his therapy, and this is in a classroom of 8 children with 4 educational assistants and a teacher. And it was a very watered-down version, and I thought, okay, this would be great. We'll be able to do this. And we couldn't even manage to do it because there are noises, there are interruptions, and the training that's needed that these therapists have in order to effectively do this require quiet, sustained rooms. You put a child who can't cope with that, who needs to be able to stim in some sort of way, like bounce on a ball, or needs to wear headphones, noise-canceling headphones. And you put them in a regular classroom, and they can't handle that. It's a sensory overload for them. And so that then makes it traumatic for them. And because they're going through the trauma, they're going to react to that trauma, and then that causes disruption for everybody else in the classroom. These kids have so much potential and so bright and so creative, but the setting has to be right, and the government's plan of giving teachers a one day in service is a waste of provincial money, because one day is not going to give any teacher the knowledge that they need to work with kids like that have autism.
Now, one of the things that I know locally, the Northumberland Labor Council has been involved in, it was the cuts to library services. And I understand that you had gathered some signatures and took some action. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Okay, we on the May 1st, the library associations had a read-in, and so we had representatives at the Cobourg Public Library and at the Port Hope Public Library. We then left our petitions open for till the end of May, and we gathered 30 pages of signatures, and this was in protest to the cuts to the interlibrary loan, the 50% cut to the interlibrary loan system that was canceled on April 26th. The day that on a Thursday I delivered the originals of the petition to John Vantoff, the NDP MPP for Temiskaming Cochrane, was in Port Hope, and I met with him along with some library workers, and I learned a lot of interesting things. The Port Hope Library, for example, has had 3 deliveries a week, and the vans were always full, and they used that delivery service to ship materials to the Canton satellite office, as well as many other libraries, but so, you know, just keeping it locally. I learned that publishers, when libraries are purchasing new materials, publishers were using the Souls and the Northern Ontario one as well to get materials out to libraries, thereby saving shipping costs. So that's now been canceled, and I delivered the petitions to John Vantoff, who said he would have them read into the legislature. The next day, because David Pacini is our MPP, I delivered copies of the same 30 pages to his office and to him.
Where did you get the 30 pages of signatures from?
Mostly in front of the libraries on the 2 days, and then we had a couple of people that took them to events that they were going to, and said, are you interested in signing?
So it's 30 pages of local signatures.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the day that we were in front of Port Hope Library, it was a very windy day that was, rain was threatening all day. And that day alone in front of Port Hope, I collected 78 signatures. It was wonderful. The number of people that came down to the library to say, I just came to sign the petition, was wonderful. And we left some in local businesses. There was somewhere in Coburg we left them, and a couple of local Port Hope businesses as well. Mm-hmm. Took the petitions, and we, you know, opened it up for a month. A friend of mine took it to a trivia night at the Beamish House. So they were local. Mm-hmm. Local residents had signed, and so it was wonderful. And so I took them in and delivered them to David Pacini as well. And I gave them right to him, not to his staff, but right to him. I knew he was going to be in the office at a certain time, and so I made sure I was there at that time.
And since that time, these services have been reinstated?
A letter came out from Souls and the OLNS saying that the service had, that an agreement had been reached with the government. However, further researching that agreement, the vans have still not been reinstated and won't be reinstated. The agreement now is that people are, libraries are encouraged to use Canada Post, which is what the government suggested in the first place. And after doing that for the year, there will be partial reimbursement of their costs, Canada Post costs. Partial reimbursement doesn't say how much reimbursement. One of the conservative MPPs was stating that no more money had been given. So libraries are going to have to decide what their priorities are, whether they want to spend their monies on shipping things via Canada Post, or whether they're going to have to cut other services in order to continue the interlibrary loan program.
Many of the groups are locally that are facing these cuts and these changes have been meeting with the MPPs or lobbying the government on their own. Why is it important the Labour Council get involved?
The Labour Council represents all of the community, and labor councils don't just represent unionized workers. The premise behind labor councils is to serve the community in communities in which you're located. They are a gathering of delegates from different unions. We often have guests that appear at council meetings to share ideas. We host, one of the things we've done is we host a breakfast for a Women's Day breakfast and raise funds for Cornerstone here locally. The Day of Mourning celebrates worker loss that affects all workers, not just unionized workers. And Labor Council's job is to represent the communities, and that's why Labor Council is involved in assisting or supporting other people other than unionized workers.
You mentioned earlier that you said the province doesn't face a deficit, it faces a revenue problem. And I'm just wondering, how do you think that message is going to sell to the public when they're listening to this kind of debate going back and forth? Because I don't know if everyone's going to agree with that. How do you get people to see your point of view then?
Present them with the facts. and I'm not saying that we don't have a deficit. We do have a deficit, and debt reduction is an important aspect of that. But I think that, you know, yes, there are efficiencies that can be found in many different areas of the government budget. However, revenue also needs to be increased. And the problem that labor has with this government is the refusal to increase tax rates on corporations and big business, and take it off the back, take it, get the money from those that can, from public service and other areas that where more people are affected. When speaking with a conservative MPP, I was told, well, they already pay 50%. We already, you know, pay 50% income tax. And I'm, okay, so pay 51, pay 52. I think I find it ludicrous, and it makes me very angry when efficiencies can be found, for example, in education by canceling EQAO. That's $35 million a year the government would have. In the government consultation that they did, there were 300 people that said, yes, EQAO should still be in place. There were 1,400 people that said it needs to be gone. So instead of canceling that, they've now appointed somebody at a six-figure salary to run EQAO. That's not finding efficiencies. That's wasting taxpayer dollars. Too many handouts are being given to the gravy train. And I mean, I'll say it just like it is, to the gravy train. John Snowbelin, heavily involved in horse racing, and writes a good op-ed saying that the Minister of Education is doing a wonderful job, and then the next thing we know, we have, I don't remember if it's 10 or 100 million a year being given to the horse racing industry. It's ludicrous. And yet, kids locally here are going to be in higher classes. In secondary school, the numbers are huge in this area.
So do you believe that the Labour Council really represents the broader public?
I think the Labour Council represents a fairly, more than half of the broader public, yes.
Wendy Good, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. If you have any suggestion about guests you would like to hear on this show, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com with your ideas. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at @rwash. I will read out a selection of comments on next week's show. If you would like to listen to this or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.